And I'm going to start by thanking the tribe. I asked them to change the offering song. I guess that's part of the privileges of being a pastor. And they said yes. So thank you guys. I appreciate that very much. Our God is a refiner. He is refining us continually. See, he's working to remove the impurities and the unwanted elements from our lives. Working us to his, Tim, ready? Perfection. There was a Bible study group, and while studying the book of Malachi, chapter 3, they came across verse 3, which says, he will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. This verse puzzled them. They wondered how this statement applied to the character and nature of God. One of the men offered to find out more about the process of refining silver and to get back to the group at the next Bible study. The following week, he called up a silversmith and made an appointment to watch him while at work. He didn't mention anything about the reason for his interest beyond his curiosity about the process of refining silver. As he watched the silversmith work, the silversmith held a piece of silver over the fire and he let it heat up. He explained that in refining silver, one needed to hold the silver in the middle of the fire where the flame was the hottest as to burn away all the impurities. The man thought about God holding us in such a hot spot. Then he thought again about the verse. He sits as a refiner and purifier of silver. He asked the silversmith if it was true that he had to sit there in front of the fire the entire time the silver was being refined. The man answered, yes. That not only did he have to sit there holding the silver, but he had to keep his eye on it the entire time it was in the fire. If the silver was left even a moment too long in the flames, it would be destroyed. The man was silent for a moment. Then he asked the silversmith, but how do you know when the silver is fully refined? He smiled at the man and answered, oh, that's easy. When I see my image in it. He is a refiner. In Romans 8:29, it says, he predestined us to become conformed to the image of his Son. Through the refining. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it reads, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Regardless of how you feel, no matter what your circumstances might be right now, your feelings aren't going to determine your destiny. Your faith in the God of all possibilities is. Luke 1 verse 37, for with God nothing will be impossible. Well, I like what the NLT says. For the word of God will never fail. Wow. We are not to be moved by what we feel or see. Amen? We've got the victory living in us. The victor with the victory is living in us. Think about that for a minute. No matter what the circumstances may or may appear to be, and again, I say, may appear to be, okay? Your best days are not behind you with God if And that is the question. You have surrendered your all to Him. Amen. The Word declares, and it is a word worthy of taking to the bank, your greatest days are not behind you. Your greatest days are still ahead of you. Now, Philippians 1, verse 6, the voice. I am confident that the Creator, who has begun such a great work among you, will not stop in mid-design, but will keep perfecting you until the day Jesus, the Anointed, our liberating King, returns to redeem the world. Until Jesus comes back to take His bride home, and that's us, until we hear that trump sound, He is not going to quit paying attention to you and your circumstances. You're always on His mind. See, that's what makes serving God so exciting, because if you'll let Him, every day will be more and more exciting than the one before. It's nothing that you're going to do. No. But everything that God will do for you. We haven't even begun to reach the potential that God has for each and every one of us. Mm-mm. We haven't scratched the surface yet. My niece is an archaeologist, and she goes on digs. And she's been to digs that they're still scratching. They've got just maybe below the surface, but they've been doing this for years. 60, 70 years or better, even more than that in some of these digs that they've been on. So when I say we're only scratching the surface, wow. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. NLT, but as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. We often look with great anticipation to the day that is coming, and that is the day that we will go to heaven to be with Jesus. See, but to some degree, I'm thinking, we do not look with enough anticipation or expectation to the things that God has prepared for those who love Him in the here and now. In the here and now. And the Bible refers to that as abundant life, folks. That's what it's called. Because Jesus said, I have come that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly. It's now. It's not future. Now. Now. The moment you became a child of God, He began to do a work. So you are a work in progress. Look to someone by you and say, I'm a work in progress. Do you think I'm any different? No, I'm a work in progress. A long time ago, George Moss, He said, brother, you're a diamond in the rough. You're still a piece of coal that is being pressured into that point. Going to take a lot of pressure. But I know that He's the one putting the pressure on. And that day when I become that diamond, it'll be a rejoiceful day, because I'll be home with the Lord when that happens. I know that. Because He works all the way up to that point in our lives. To the point of perfection for each and every one of us. Well, you might say, you don't know what's going on in my situation. True. But the cake ain't baked yet, brother. Mm-mm. We're all still in the mixing stage. Now, my lovely wife has baked cakes for years. And I'd say she's really darn good at it, if you've ever tasted her cakes. Well, when she makes a cake, she is precise on every measurement and everything she puts in that cake. Nothing varies. Even to the point of when she puts those beaters in there to beat the batter for the cake, she gets it ready and she goes, boom, hits a timer. Only so many seconds, then she stops. Because you can't beat it too long, but you have to beat it enough. And she has it down to that perfect science. So I'm just saying, I'm using her as an example. That's what God does with us. We're still in that mixing stage. So I don't have to know what your situation is. Because, see, God knows what your situation is. He is the greatest cake maker there is. Just remember that. And remember this. He is bigger than any of your situations you ever are going to get involved into. He's bigger. So when you feel like you're being scorched, step under his shadow and get cooled. That's all I can say. Well, maybe you're right in the middle of one of your biggest fights in life. And the devil's throwing everything at you that he can. And you wished it was the kitchen sink coming at you. You know? Because that would be easier to deal with than everything else that comes right here. Yes, sir. Because even if they want you to change your sink, no big deal, right? You can handle it. But it's all those other thoughts of, well, if I don't change this and don't do what they say, they're going to shut the doors of my business. Nobody can shut God's business's doors. Amen. Sorry to keep using you as an example, but you are the perfect example, my brother. Well, I want you to realize and to take comfort in this. There's nothing that he can throw at you that Jesus hasn't already been victorious over and defeated at the cross. Already been defeated. You know, believe me. Don't believe me. Believe him. He's the one you should be believing in and believing for. For everything that you need, because he will supply all of your needs. So there aren't enough demons in hell or even roaming on this earth that can keep God's purpose and plan for your life from being fulfilled. None of them. None ya. Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 39. New King James. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. It's his love. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, God hasn't brought you this far to let the accuser throw you under the bus. Or ever. No. See, he has too much invested in you to give up on you right now. In fact, he'll never give up on you. Once he gets a vested interest in you, he's going to make sure it pays off. He knows, and we should believe in him for it, that the best is yet to come and that the greatest things in your life are still in the making. Now, I know we all need to hear this tonight. Yeah, and for some of you, this word is specifically just for you. I know that in my spirit. And you're not going to hear this word out there on the street, are you? You're not going to hear it at BASF. No, that's right. You're not going to hear it sitting over at Panera's or Starbucks. But it's all part of the magnificent plans that God has had for you from the beginning, from the very beginning. Psalm 139, verse 16, NLT. You saw me before I was born. Who do you think invented sonograms? The image they give you, yeah, you could see. But can you imagine God is able to see you as you are being formed in that womb? And the only way we can see what we see now is be through these sonograms. And somebody else got to point everything out to us. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. He's already got a book on your life. And he'll make it available for you to read. It's called the Bible. He's got a plan for each and every one of us. And they're all spelled out for us. And when we seek his will by praying to him through the Holy Spirit, that will make a big difference. And a plan will be revealed. And as the plan's being revealed, you're going to say, oh, that's why I'm here at this point in time, to be at this place, to be working this specific job, or to be in a certain place at that time. There's a plan for you. There's a plan for you. He has a specific place in his plan of where you are supposed to be living. He'll give you the exact location and the house you desire, because he knows that's part of his plan. And you've left him guide you, finally, after all these years. See, the devil doesn't have the last word in your life. He never has. God does. Always has, always will. God's words speak life into every situation. God's words never come back empty to him. They always accomplish what he wants. Isaiah 55, 11. New King James. So shall my word be that goeth forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. No one else has a track record like God. Never illustrates complete perfection like him. Right on time, every time. Praise God for his faithful word. For it is the word. The word works. We must be working the word. We must be speaking the word. Ezekiel 37, verses 3 through 10, NLT. Now you go out in Ezekiel standing in a large, long valley. Long. And there's nothing but bones there. Human bones. Now he's standing here. And the Lord's going to speak to him. And he said to Ezekiel, can these bones become living people again? O sovereign Lord, he replied, you alone know the answer to that. He didn't say no. He didn't say maybe. No. He said, you know, Lord. So there was no doubt and unbelief, was there? No. You alone know the answer to that. Verse 4. Then he said to me, speak. He said, speak. Speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. Said, speak to the dry bones. What did Jesus do? He spoke to a fig tree. He spoke to the weather. He spoke to the seas when the waves were flying. He even spoke to the dead, and they responded. How did they respond? With life. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you. That sounds like that he can do that to those bones, then he can recreate cartilages, can he not? He can repair ligaments and tendons and muscles. They can grow again. Right? And he'll cover you with skin. He's speaking to those bones. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Verse 7. What did Ezekiel do? He said, so I spoke. He spoke this message. Just as he told me, suddenly as I spoke, there was a rattling noise. Did you ever hear bones rattle and make them sound on the TV? Can you imagine a whole valley of those bones rattling? All the way across that valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones. Then skin formed to cover their bones, but they still had no breath in them. Then he said to me, speak. Speak. Speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, just like we are, this for this it is written. We're supposed to speak it. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come. O breath from the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again. What did he do? So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. When we, the believers, get a hold of what is being talked about here, amazing things will result. And they will only be done by when we make those commands upon them. Wow. That spoke a lot to me. You and I are king's kids. Say, I'm a king's kid. You speak with the authority in the name of Jesus. And there is power in the name of Jesus, folks. Your words spoken in faith, trusting God to deliver the results, will be and are amazing. You'll say, wow, well, it's nothing about you. It's about him. Wow, Lord, I doubted you. I should have never doubted you in the first place. If I speak in faith, you can change those things that be not as though they are. Thank you, Lord. Speak to those situations, those crises you might be in. Speak to them. But just like Ezekiel learned here, you have to speak out and you have to believe God for the things He has already promised you. Speak them. Speak them into existence. Speak to the dry bones. See, God has been speaking good things over you your whole life long. He wants nothing but the best for you. And let me tell you this, His best is better than our best because we can only compare it to our standards. And we have no real way of knowing just how much God wants to bless us, His kids, for we are King's kids. So I say to you, rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice in the fact that God wants to share what He has with us. Yeah, He wants to share it all with us. Who else has a non-stop, constant giving mentality but God? I haven't found anyone else. He's always giving His best continually, even if there's no expectation of getting anything in return. He just gives. He gives because He loves us. He gave us Jesus. He gives. Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 11. Here you go, my brother. Message Bible. For you. I don't think the way you think. The way you work isn't the way I work. God's decree. For as the sky soars high above earth, so the way I work surpasses the way you work, and the way I think is beyond the way you think. Now listen, just as rain and snow descend from the skies and don't go back until they've watered the earth, doing their work of making things grow and blossom, producing seed for farmers and food for the hungry. So will the words that come out of my mouth not come back empty-handed. They will do the work I sent them to do. They'll complete the assignment I gave them to do. And one of those assignments is healing, health, and wholeness in our physical bodies. Amen? What's His word say? For He sent His word and healed. God's word will accomplish the task He has given it. It may not always be in the time frame we would like it to happen, though. But that's where our trust comes into play. It's called faith. By believing God knows the right time and the best time for His words to complete the task that He sent them to do. He has the perfect timing. How about the story of Joseph? He had many ups and downs, did he not? Times of blessings and times of crisis. But God's favor was always there, and Joseph knew it. How about you? How about you? Do you know His favor is always there for you? It's always resting on you? Even when you're over there at Walmart trying to find a parking place and it's raining, and you all of a sudden turn and you got one right by the door. Huh? God's favor. You know, you think, really? Yeah. But see, we miss those small things He does for us. We're looking for the big things all the time. Yeah, He can take care of them. But do you recognize Him for the small things that He's doing continually? Trying to keep you patient enough for the big things to happen? So you don't go running out ahead of Him? That's when you find out you got a problem, folks, when you're running out ahead of Him. But with Joseph, in the end, God brought him up out of the pit, and he took him straight from the prison to the palace. He was second in power only to Pharaoh. If Joseph had peaked before the time God wanted him to, he would never have been in the position that God wanted him to be. By the way, was Joseph qualified for the position of power? Not really. But see, that didn't matter, because God's favor on his life propelled him right by the qualifications. The favor of God always does. Now, who wouldn't want the favor of God in their life? You know, for if they only knew they could have it and what it would do for them in their life. I think we all know the answer to that, don't we? God's favor is awesome. It's awesome. When I was working in the mill still, years ago, after I found the Lord, things started to change. I got my focus on the Lord. Things I didn't even try for were happening in my life. And I really didn't understand it at the time. But God's favor, and I'm not bragging about me, it was all on God because of what he did with somebody like me. He took me and started promoting me within the ranks of the different salary positions in the plant. Before you know it, I was at the level of an assistant superintendent in the grade qualifications. And that also meant that's where your pay comes in. The higher the level, the more money you make. And I never realized that it was God's favor. And I said, wow. But the other thing was, every job that I held and moved into, was I qualified for? No. Not according to LTV standards. Not according to what man said. In fact, I sat at a meeting at corporate in Cleveland, and he introduced me for an award. And then two of the presenters later asked me, they said, how did you get to the position you're at without having an education and none of the qualifications that are required for you to have the job? I looked at those guys up there, and I said, it's Jesus in me. I remember when I said that to them. They didn't know what to say. They didn't even respond. But I said that to let you know the favor of God, when I finally realized what was happening, because it was nothing that I did, nothing that I was qualified for. Just like Joseph. He wasn't qualified for that. His brothers didn't want to have nothing to do with him. They threw him in a pit and then they sold him. But he did take care of them in the end, did he? He didn't hold nothing against them. He forgave them. He forgave them. You know that paid big benefits for Joseph. See, we can tell someone about this favor and the goodness of God. And you can show them how they can experience it as well. But you can't make them partake of it, can you? Especially if they don't want to. You can witness all you want to them. It's kind of like that horse and water thing, you know? The devil would have us to believe that this is way too good to be true. But I'm sitting here telling you, to remind you, that God says, with man, it's not possible. But with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. And he wants you to realize that. We say that a lot from this pulpit, but we're only saying what the Word says. With God, all things are possible. Whatever you are believing for, it's possible. It's possible. God's favor is guaranteed the same way all of his promises are. And how is that? How are they guaranteed, Bob? By the word. By the word. And his word declares, and let me read it again, Isaiah 55:11. Message. So will the words that come out of my mouth not come back empty-handed. They will do the work I sent them to do. They'll complete the assignment. They will complete the assignment I gave them. You speak his word in faith, it's going to happen. The day he spoke it, it had power in it. And if we speak it, it still has the same power. And especially when you speak it in faith, believing. Believing. Now some are going to say, I don't understand. You know, I look at them and say, so don't. Simply don't. God's word and God's favor working in your life is not hindered by your understanding it. It's only by your accepting it and believing it. Especially that he can do what he says he will do. You have to be willing to lay things. Let me say that again. You have to be willing to lay the way things are and the way things have always been aside, and not allow an opportunity, and allowing God an opportunity to do a work in your life if you want to see the favor of God. I don't know why that was so hard to get out. Psalm 34, verse 19, New King James. Many are the afflictions or troubles of the righteous. Yeah, they are, aren't they? But the Lord delivereth. Means he rescues us from all of them. Not some, but all of them. Circumstances happen to everyone. See, it's just part of life. It's part of the devil's plan. That's whose plan that is. See, Joseph could have wallowed in his disappointments. But see, like him, everybody has that choice. But realize this. There is no disappointment God cannot turn into an appointment. Disappointments are temporary. God's appointments are lasting for a lifetime. See, we shouldn't be fighting the same things our whole life. Jesus already fought them and has already been victorious over them. Do you realize that? He's already been victorious over them. So why are we fighting them? We should be thanking him for taking care of the situation, whatever it is. See, it doesn't matter what you've been going through. It doesn't matter what you are facing today. Nothing is too hard for God. Jeremiah 32, verse 27, New King James. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? He asked the question, do we have an answer? No, nothing is too hard for God. When you give him a chance to work in your life, you got to give him the opportunity. Quit trying to do it your own way because you can't do it your own way. Look to him and do it Yahweh's. So it's time to make a declaration of change, is it not, for us? Just because it's always been doesn't mean that it's that way forever. And that's not the way it's going to be anymore, is it, for us? Because we're going to learn that we have to speak. We have to speak. We can't be quiet any longer. We got to speak. You may get down, but the more you get down, the more you speak, the more you'll come back up, and you'll stand tall and strong, and you'll be able to stride in the Lord, because He's going to be right alongside you strutting. Because you have the victory. You'll strut when you have the victory in Jesus. And that's what we have. Because He's triumphed over the devil already. We got to realize that. He's already triumphed for us. And greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. He's in you. The victor who has all the victories is in you. We got to realize that, folks. In Romans 8:28, New King James says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." God causes everything to work together for our good. All things here is the sufferings and trouble that come while we are in this present time, right where we live now. Yeah. But I mean by that is all the circumstances work together in cooperation for us to the believer's good. By them, we are being conformed to Jesus Christ right now through them. Those who love God are, in fact, those who are called by God. Do you love God? Then you're called by God. Wow. Wow. Love. A four-letter word. How powerful it is it not? His purpose for us is to serve Him, to honor Him, to praise Him, to worship Him, and Him alone. Our Creator. What's the first commandment? Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. For me, it simply means to love something more than God. No, that's what it means to me. Some people never come to God because they can't figure it out. Well, who cares? If someone already had the answer to the whole world's problems, would you continue to try to figure it out? Or would you listen and give it a try? How about an outreach? There's not a mountain high enough or river wide enough that can keep you from the good things and the good life that God has created for you. One thing, though, only you can. You can keep it from happening. It's a choice. We can believe Him for the promises and act upon those promises and speak those promises into existence, and you will have those promises. They will manifest in your life. Well, how fast? I don't know. How much can you believe for? And what can you believe for? I'm in the same thing you are. I'm not preaching to you any different than I'm preaching to myself a lot of times. I look in the mirror and say that. I speak to myself a lot when I see these words. And I figure if they're good enough for me, they ought to be good enough for y'all. Because if God can use a donkey, He can use me. Am I the one that was qualified to be up here? I don't really think that, but I know better now than what it is. Say, I wasn't equipped for this job. No, but He equips those He calls. And so I take great pleasure in knowing that. See, excuses are a dime a dozen, and you can twist them to fit any scenario of indecision. But the fact is, only you can keep God's promises and goodness from being part of your life. Only you. Only you. With Jesus as your Lord, you can confidently trust and be sure He will complete the work that He started in you, refining you into the image of His Son. Amen? Amen. There's a song that I'm going to read the verses to you from, and it's by A.B. Smith, and this is what I'll end with. I know who holds the future, and I know who holds my hand. With God, things don't just happen. Everything by Him is planned. So as I face tomorrow, with its problems large and small, I'll trust the God of miracles, giving to Him my all. Amen. Well, thank you. God bless.